Welcome to this special series on the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. My name is Jocelyn Lancaster, and it's my pleasure to present to you this March for Life coverage. When it comes to abortion, many people feel like there's no hope. You may say you're pro-life and still feel overwhelmed by all the abortion advocates out there. People are mean. People are violent. Planned Parenthood seems to be really attacking conservatives these days. So what hope do we have? Prayer. Ronnie Floyd is the president of the National Day of Prayer and is here to talk about how prayer affects the pro-life movement. Listen to his interview after the sponsor. This episode is brought to you by QM Stewardship. When you stand for the life of the unborn, you make sacrifices both with your time and resources. What if I told you you could actually be supporting Planned Parenthood? How, you might ask? Through your 401ks, IRAs, and investments. If you want to know if your investments conflict with your pro-life values, there is a solution. Quartermaster Stewardship Ministries is offering all Charisma News listeners a free pro-life impact report. Quartermaster Stewardship Ministries, it's a nonprofit organization that's mission is to educate Christians through the free impact report on what they're supporting in their investments. To receive your free pro-life impact report, text M4L, that's M as in March, 4 as in the number 4, L as in life, to 555-888 or go to www.qmstewardship.com. Once again, that's M4L to 555-888 or go to www.qmstewardship.com. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, we have very special guest, Pastor Ronnie Floyd. How are you doing today, Pastor Floyd?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. Now, we are talking today about the March for Life and abortion as a whole. And given that you are the president of the National Day of Prayer, we would love to hear your perspective on this. Can you tell us a little bit about how you first got involved within the pro-life movement?
Well, thank you, Justin, for this opportunity. And I have obviously was raised in a very conservative and Christian home that was based upon the Bible as God's word. So in reality, I grew up in the very culture that would have never permitted or even really even known at that time much about abortion when I was a young boy. And, you know, it was in 1973 when the Roe v. Wade occurred, which was when I was in my high school years. And so that was little publicity at that time. The day and time was not like it is today, where everything is on this and that and the other type of thing. But I do know that shortly after that, it became a very volatile issue. And when that occurred and when people began to really understand what it was about, you know, that's when in my seminary years and beyond, I began to be pretty active in speaking out for life and for choosing life from conception all the way to death, and still believe that today. And it's really a tragedy of what's happened in our country. And I pray that in some way, you know, God can intervene in these days and in this generation to change this life issue into being what many of us who have a biblical worldview can better live with and feel great about, because, you know, God's for life.
Amen.
If God's for life, I'm for life.
Absolutely. I love that attitude, and we know that one of the ways the Lord often intervenes is when we pray. Can you tell me what role prayer plays in the March for Life?
Well, I do believe that any time that we face issues in relationship to, for example, the horrendous matters that have happened in abortion in this country, since 1973, over 61 million babies have been aborted in the United States. That's an estimated, you know, just a horrible situation, 2,400 a day. That's roughly the combined populations of California and Florida.
Mm.
I mean, abortion was the leading cause of death in the world in the year 2018. 41.9 million abortions were performed globally.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at that and you see where our country is, there are only 8 or 9 countries that are above the United States in the tragedy of committing abortions. in the world. And to us, that is a tragic violation. I believe it's obviously a sin against God. And while I would have compassion and grace for anyone who ever chooses that and would do everything I can to help them through that, when we look at it from a biblical and prayerful perspective, there are a couple of words that I think about, and that is the first word is repentance.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about praying in relationship to abortion, I think we need to pray a prayer of repentance for our country. I think we saw that modeled in the Old and the New Testament, and I think we need to do that in relationship to this being one of the most horrendous sins, if not the most horrendous in the culture today. The killing of the unborn and the taking of human life, how tragic. And you see what's happening in the culture today is that because we take it so lightly when it's in the womb of a mother, then life doesn't mean that much when it's lost when people are living, unless it affects you personally and your family. And that is a tragedy. And we began to look at people in a different way, and that should never happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, just like we know, the euthanasia movement as well on the back end of life, when someone is, quote, not living a quality life, whatever that means. I mean, come on. I mean, life is in the hands of God.
Absolutely.
Life is not in the hands of men and women and the sake of convenience. And so I think that we need to repent of that. And then I think we need to offer grace in that. And I think it's very important that Christian people constantly always carry God's truth in one hand and God's love in the other. And I think we have to always walk into these kind of critical issues relating to this. Abortion is not a political issue. Abortion is a moral issue. Abortion is a biblical issue. And we need to understand that. And it becomes political because we have opposite worldviews, or we have all kinds of conflicting worldviews in our culture today. But I think it's very important that we always, as Christian men and women, we go to God in repentance about it, and we go to God asking for grace and mercy in time of need, and that we would somehow be moved to action in relationship to helping women, young girls, make the right choices about that, coming underneath them in every way we can as the Church of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. And if we will do that in the 300,000-plus churches and the 200 denominations in the United States, then we can make a difference in this issue. And we are making a difference in this issue. And thank God for the difference being made.
Absolutely.
And so I think those are the things that we need to be always have in front of us.
That actually leads well into my next question. Unfortunately, whenever we have a loss of life through abortion, or for the liberals, when we have mass school shootings, which are devastating, they always get onto Christians and they say, stop offering us thoughts and prayers. Your prayers aren't enough. How can prayer actually shift the atmosphere and really make a difference?
Well, I've never been around people that have really walked through a tragedy where they do not appreciate someone praying with them. They may not appreciate it the very first few moments, obviously, unless they're really strong believers, because they're in a state of shock. But in time, many of them will embrace it, even those that are unchurched, those that come from a non-biblical, non-Christian worldview. And so I think when somebody says that, sometimes that's people that are saying stuff, you know, they're just talking heads on television, or there are people that are angry about this or angry about that. I think we don't need to be trite in that. I'm praying for you. We need as Christians to always understand that prayer should move us to action. Prayer is our greatest action, but we need to have supportive actions underneath that. And the supportive actions of that would be, what can we do for those students that have walked through those kinds of things in school shootings? What can we do for the families? How can we come alongside of them? You know, and if we want to take action, we need to start praying over our schools. We need to start praying over our schools more than once a year. We need to pray over our schools every day. We need shield of prayer all over America, over every school in this country. And Christian parents have a real opportunity to be a leader in that.
Absolutely.
And to make a difference in that. And it's so important that parents and grandparents really take the lead in this. If we believe in the power of prayer, that God is able to shield his people, then we need to really go forth and we need to do that. And so I think when back in the relationship of your question, I think our heart needs to be, listen, we're not simply praying for you. We're taking action on this issue. We're doing everything we can from a politically influenced area. What are we doing to change any laws? What are we doing to change any behaviors? What are we doing to equip our administrators, our teachers, our schools? I mean, we know now that when you poll Christian teenagers or non-Christian teenagers, as well as teachers, we know now that one of the greatest fears they all have in common is a school shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the reasons those kind of things have happened is because we've raised a generation of people that have absolutely no appreciation for human life.
Mm.
And what that goes back to the issue we're talking about today. And that is, if we do not value life when life is most precious in the womb of a mother, it's a little hard to value human life when life goes on outside of the human mother.
Man.
And we need to always value life.
That is an excellent statement, and I feel very convicted. Obviously, I value life. I'm a Christian. I have a biblical worldview, but I hadn't really processed exactly how the two relate, and I'm a little blown away right now. Now, as Christians, we believe that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Can you tell me a little bit about the spiritual warfare that's really driving this culture of death?
Well, I think that there you go. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Christ comes to give life and life abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think therein lies the tension. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. We know constantly there's war. The Apostle Paul talks about it in the book of Corinthians, this whole element of spiritual warfare that we need to put on the armor of God in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And then he goes on and on and on. The war is there, and there is a constant war against the value of human life. And I think what we have to do in this is that we have to teach about spiritual warfare to our churches and to the believers in this country today. And that we need to understand that part of our value is to do what I call warfare praying in relationship to those kinds of matters like we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's school shootings, whether it's the matter of abortion, or whether it's about somebody doing something crazy at the job and demeaning a woman or a man. I mean, it doesn't matter what level it is. We have to pray against the forces of evil. And I think that is what we must constantly do. You know, there's not a night that we go to bed that we don't pray for protection upon our home and
mm-hmm.
upon our children and grandchildren and where they are. There's not a morning that I don't pray for my children and my grandchildren and my wife for God's protection to be upon us. And one of the things I've recently really began praying for is that God would be his shield over them, even in their schools, even in their cars that they drive, the cars that they ride in, wherever they are, be a shield. And what is a shield? Lord, here's what I ask God every day. Lord, would you be a shield around them,
mm-hmm.
underneath them, over them, in front of them, behind them, to the left of them, to the right of them? Lord, shield them and envelop them with your safety, with your peace, with your comfort, and keep them from all evil and all harm.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, that is the way we need to be doing this. And I also am very convicted, and I've done this for years and years and years. Every day, I pray and put on the armor of God that the Apostle Paul talks about for my own life, and I pray it upon my children and my grandchildren. And I'm very committed to doing that because I believe deeply that spiritual leaders in the home need to take the forefront, be out there on the edge in praying for for protection over our children and over our marriages and over everything we face in this culture today.
Absolutely. I believe that prayer is a critical element. I've heard it said before, and I'm not sure of the original source, is prayer is basically the batteries to everything we do. It's the life-giving force. Without it, we're just an empty shell. And there's no way we can come against a principality like abortion in the United States without being fully armored up with the Lord.
No, no question about that. And I think that's just really critical that we always remember that. And, you know, I think that we have to, we really have to begin equipping our people, you know. And, you know, years ago, people would have probably thought, sometimes when you talk about warfare type stuff, they would think, you know, the Twilight Zone music starts playing or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the culture today, it's pretty obvious. And Eva, it doesn't matter whether it's policemen, politicians, parents, doesn't matter what it is, or even students. When they've gone through a school shooting, they all use this term, or some tragedy of where a person has gone mad. What do they say? There is evil in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Evil. And, you know, that's a pretty powerful statement by people. We're not talking about people always that are people that believe like we believe.
Mm-hmm.
They may not even believe in God, but they know there's evil out there. And there is an evil force that is very committed to taking us out, and we need to do all we can to fight for it and to do something about it.
Absolutely. Pastor Floyd, you have actually answered all the questions I have for you. Do you have anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I would just encourage people to stay in the battle. Don't get discouraged. I think that we are living literally in the generation today, due to science and technology and medicine, that for the first time ever, it's becoming glaring to this culture the horrendous nature of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
People are now seeing what human life looks like in the womb of a mother, even within weeks of conception. And I'm telling you, we're on the edge of seeing this thing changed in many ways. I'm not sure we'll ever live to see Roe v. Wade change. Perhaps we will. I pray we will.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, we're seeing already stricter matters about this again and again and again. And only through the supernatural, miraculous power of God will we one day live to see the entire death matter in this country in relationship to the womb of a mother overturned. And I pray that I live to see that.
Mm.
And if I don't, the great news is about the young generation is that they literally might be able to see that one day.
That's amazing.
Because of science and technology and the reality that this is life, this is death. Why would we ever take that? Regardless of their worldview, they would believe that. And I think that's where we're going, and I pray to God in the name of Jesus that it happens.
Amen. I'm praying that with you. Thank you so much for stopping by the show today. We really appreciate your insight. You have been a phenomenal guest. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and I want to encourage all your guests to be a part of the National Day of Prayer on May the 2nd in 2019 in your city, in your town, in your county. Find a place or start one.
Absolutely.
We need to pray for America today.
Amen. We're so thankful for Pastor Ronnie Floyd stopping by the show to talk about how prayer is involved in the pro-life movement. As he said, it's important for us to really get involved in the spiritual warfare, to pray over our families, to pray over the unborn. This has been a special episode of Charisma News Podcast in our March for Life series. Remember, if you like this show, please go to iTunes to rank us. This will help us spread the gospel and advance the kingdom of God.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.